I don't know if you guys saw the Zdeno Chara, Brendan Gallagher scrum and the cross check.
I don't know how that's not a suspension. I mean, it's a blatant cross check right to the face.
I'll tell you how. Zdeno Chara never gets suspended. He is one of the dirtiest players in the league, and he gets away with everything because the excuse is always, well, he's 6'9". Like, if you have
that play
the audacity,
in the playoffs last year where he sucker punched John
Tavares. That was gutless.
If that was Tom Wilson, he's five games.
Absolutely.
Like, 5 games.
Like, he popped Tavares and went through a scrum to get him, and Tavares dropped.
Dropped him.
If Gallagher fell on the ice last night, Chara gets suspended for multiple games.
No, if he fell on the ice motionless like he was concussed, then maybe.
Right.
Who knows?
But he gets away with everything. Like, remember the... Now, I didn't believe he should have been suspended for the hit on Pacioretty where he rides him out and he ran into the stanchion. But remember that story that went crazy? That last night is blatantly a suspension, in my opinion.
I always wonder how much Jerry's buddy is behind that, too.
Jeremy Jacobs in Boston.
Well, he gave the team to his kids, I think, but still, they're still boys.
It's still, that's his number one guy. It always has been.
Always will be.
How do you
fine
him.
That's a fine.
You say it's a fine, but it's not a suspension. Like, I don't care that Gallagher's smaller than you. Everyone's smaller than you. You're 6'9". You don't have the right.
What's he supposed to do? Chop down on, like, his chest?
Don't cross-check a guy in the face. It's not overly complicated.
Yeah, Tom Wilson did that. It's 5 games.
He has control of his stick. He cross-checked the guy in the face.
But because he's 6'8", he doesn't get to cross-check anyone?
But that's all. Not in the face. I don't care if you're 5 feet or 7 feet. You can't cross-check someone in the face.
But he'd be, like, chopping wood.
Are you saying that you're okay with that play last night?
No, but I don't know if it's a suspension.
Dude, it's a game. Cross-check to the face.
Definitely should have been suspended.
But you're right. That. If he fell on the ice and hit his head, he'd suspend.
Oh, if Gallagher's on the ground, he's done exactly.
Dude, if Chara did that to you, he'd knock your little pee head clean off of your body.
Gallagher's not that much bigger than me.
Yeah, he's not. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What did you make of that Chara cross-check last night?
Suspension, for sure.
Yeah.
A game.
Finding him $5,000, seriously, did he just go back and pull it out of his suit pocket? Like these fines that the guys get, man, it's not even close to a deterrent.
No,
is my point. Like $5,000.
Not when
grand,
you made $100 million.
Right? They're like, yeah, okay. By the way, do I write you a check or can I direct deposit? Like, that doesn't even matter. Like, Jonas, I'm honestly, aside from you apparently losing a spelling bee to O.
I haven't lost. No, Ray,
no, it hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened, Ray.
Fake news is spreading online.
Jonas, if you lose this, by the way, I will never talk to you again. I know this is a little bit of pressure, or maybe you'd like that to happen, but you cannot lose. You keep telling us how sharp you are.
I don't know about that, but
you know what, Ray? Promote your intelligence a fair amount.
No, I don't. I do my job. Ray, the problem is...
Look to your right. Look who you're competing against.
Hey, buddy, don't kid yourself. It might...
Well, the problem is they're going to... Hayes says they're going to do names.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
That, I think, is stupid. Ray, can you spell Stanishevsky?
Not a chance.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Stupid.
I can spell Natasha.
Yeah, me too.
But that's like, how would, I don't know, can she, well, I'd like to know how old she was when she learned to spell that.
That's actually a really good question. How old was Natasha when she learned to spell Stanishevsky?
We're going to cold call her after we talk to Ray.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that answer for you.
Okay, because I think, Jonas, you shouldn't fear names. They're just letters arranged in a certain order.
Let's just say this, I'm not fearful of losing. Sorry, Jeff.
Buddy, I don't care. I'll still beat you, and I'll just say O'Neill rules.
I'll be looking, man.
Yeah, it'll
okay,
be going
so
viral.
Back to the cross check. It doesn't matter if he's 6'8" and Gallagher's 5'8". Doesn't matter. You can't cross check somebody in the neck or the throat or the face. You can't. And he should be suspended. Guaranteed.
Yep, he should be on the books.
It doesn't
should
look
be.
Like he has been suspended.
No, that's, and I give him credit for it. He is he plays as mean and as dirty and sneaky. You would think he's 5'7", kind of in and out of scrums, and he's the biggest guy on the ice, every ice he's ever been on in his life, and he gets away with everything. He does.
Yeah, it's not like you can't find him out there.
No.
You know, like, I thought, I don't know, like the Matt Dumba got $5,000 for slashing, and Antoine Roussel, I forget how much he got, five grand for slashing a guy's stick in the stands. Chara got the same thing for cross-checking a guy in the face. Like, that makes no sense.
No, it really doesn't. There's no explanation for it.
Wasn't the point of a suspension to deter it from happening again? And that's why the Astros...
Yeah, but I don't think the league ever gets that right.
No.
They don't deter anything with their suspensions.
No.
It doesn't hurt enough. And so the guy goes, that sucks. I got a two-game suspension, and oh, well, there you go.
Well, the only one that actually felt deterrent was the Kadri one, but that obviously wasn't deterring.
Well, and he deserved both of the ones that he got.
Yeah, but it didn't.
And it obviously, you're right. The first one did not deter him from doing it at the exact same spot in the exact same game a year later. That's probably the perfect example.
Oops.
Yeah, that message didn't really register for Nas. Anyway, the Leafs with Dallas in town tonight. Looks like they're going back to the well with Nylander, Matthews, and Marner.
Not sure why.
I'm a bit surprised. They didn't connect a couple of nights ago. Are you surprised at all, Ray?
A little bit. Although, right after the game, when Sheldon Keefe was talking about that line, somebody asked him. He said, I don't know if that was really a good look, because Nylander was, you know, had missed the two previous games, and he clearly didn't have, he had nothing the other night. So I think I'd like to see it one time to see exactly what it looks like. However, I'll be honest with you. I'm super intrigued by their skill. I just don't see how this line would work.
Now, who's going to go get the puck? Like, that's the bottom line. Nobody really wants to do some dirty work on that line. You need one guy that's kind of interested. Yeah, I mean, you could put Fedorov, Larionov, and Yzerman on a line, but they were just the next level where it worked.
But also, like, yeah, the game, you know, the game, of course, we talk about it all every day. It's like, it skews to skill and all that. But the difference is, I would say, with these three guys is they all need the puck. Like, just think, when they go up the middle of the ice, go up through the neutral zone, who do you envision with the puck? I envision all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it sometimes it just doesn't work. I don't see how this could be a long-term solution, just like I don't see Zach Hyman and Alex Kerfoot as John Tavares' wingers on a long-term solution.
Trying to get a read on Zach Hyman is tough to do right now.
On a 35-goal pace.
He's got, I believe, 27 points in his last 27 games.
28 games.
I think he's just an...
He's
one of my favorite players to watch in the league. I love watching him play. I love what he brings to the table. He's what you call a coach's dream. Well, if you listen to Babcock, there's no other better example than that. But he plays hard. He plays good, and that's what he brings to the table. He's a really good player. I love watching him play.
Man, would I love to have had him on my wing?
No kidding.
Oh man, like, you know, he's just the opposite of. Of course, I would have liked to have had Marner on my wing too, but like, he doesn't need the puck. Mm. He'll go get it, and like for me, I needed or wanted the puck, and that was where my effectiveness was. And Hyman he doesn't need much to make lots effective. Like, you play him with good players. If there was ever a time that he had to be just your checking winger, man, he'd be phenomenal at that too. I think he's invaluable to their team.
Yeah, and I think they're all aware of it, right? He had that quote a couple of days ago asking him if he feels like he's underrated, and he said, not in the room.
Tell you what, he is underpaid.
He is, yep. But, you know, at the time, that was an appropriate price.
That was, but I think he's up pretty soon.
He's up after next year,
after
I believe.
After next year, yeah.
Yeah, he's got one more after this. And
oh, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, because he's going to say, look, the other guy, the big boys make $11 million. I'm at least half as good as them, aren't I? That's what he's going to say.
Well, if he continues with the points, you know, I don't think he's not a 35 goal scorer.
No.
But if he can put a couple years together where you're like,
that's all he has to say. I'm half as good as them, aren't I?
Yeah, but he's not getting 5.5 a year.
He might be one
of
those guys like we saw in Chicago where you can't pay them and you just have to let them go.
Right. That's a really good example Chicago. Year after year, had to let guys disappear that they didn't want to.
Well, Ray, he also has to.
No room.
he also has to think about there's some guys in Chicago that left and went elsewhere and weren't very good. Like Andrew Shaw, it's like he was only good in Chicago.
Right. Okay. So I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know his career earnings, but they're having the same discussion out here with Jacob Markstrom, and you know, should he take a little bit of a hometown discount to, you know, to stay in Vancouver, or, you know, well, Markstrom's made $17 million in his career, cut it in half for taxes, he's got 8.5, still more than most make ever in their lifetimes, right? Except he's got a chance here for one big swing, and I would always encourage the player to think about himself first. Because let's say they go to Hyman and say, hey, if you want to stay here and you want to keep playing with John Tavares or Austin Matthews or whatever, you're going to have to take $500,000 less. Like, if I'm Hyman, I'd go, oh, geez, I got to think about that. But if I take $500,000 less, none of the other guys did. And so why am I, the shovel guy, taking less money? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I think it'll be a very complex negotiation from his standpoint.
We've had enough contract negotiation talk around here for 10 years.
Right, but
it's a year and away. Let's talk about the meaty stuff, the playoffs, how to get there. Can they get there? Can they morph into that machine we were talking about in the very first segment?
All right.
Can you guys? Okay, you guys are sitting there. Can you even take him seriously when he does that?
Go look. Go find the video. It's online. He's okay. He's 6 inches from my nose and pointing at me.
Like, oh, I like how you just swung that right back to the relevancy of today.
I had a great take on Hyman too. That just he caught me out at the knees.
How about this? You tell me in the break.
All right. We'll get to it later.
Well,
that's
Ray,
the play. That's
what
the
we were talking about in the first segment was. I said to Brian, what did you say you weren't that confident in them?
No, I said I think they're 50-50 to get in.
Yeah.
And if you're 50-50 to get in, I mean, that's...
And then I asked you the question, do you think that they could change your view on them where they could be a machine where you're like, they're going to be automatically in, they're going to be good in the playoffs? And you said, I don't think so.
Not based on 55 games or whatever we've seen so far. Like a well-oiled machine. Do you see that, Ray? Can you picture that in 2 months from now?
There'd have to be some change for sure.
Yeah, but what change could possibly happen? I don't know.
Well, part of the change is going to be Riley coming back, and hopefully, whatever was bugging him before, with the 2.5 months off that he's going to have, that would have healed a little bit to help him be more mobile, to be more like Morgan Riley. Maybe they can make an addition as well, because now they've got Riley's cap space available if they don't bring him back to the first game of the playoffs. So adding Riley and another defenseman, to me, is a significant addition. I think they're, like Brian said, 50-50 to get in. Oh, man, I think it's 80-20.
Okay.
Like I
hope you're right, Ray.
I think they're good enough to get in.
Here's my thing. I think they are good enough, too. They should be there. I don't think they should be a point in, is my point. And I don't think it's just... I don't think it's a player or two. I think it's a philosophy. I think it's a headspace.
Mindset.
That's my issue. Exactly. Is their attention to detail, shift to shift, can change dramatically. The way, like, they get into a third period sometimes, and it's like, I don't know what we're doing. I don't think, you could add, Victor Hedman could be playing tonight. I don't think that changes. Like, I still think they're going to have too many, there's something about the way this team performs night in, night out that doesn't offer me up a ton of confidence. And well, that's a philosophy, I think, or a mentality.
Yeah, I can hear that. And I would also say, but that's the way they're built. Like with the, and I don't mean that, oh, they're built with guys that can't, you know, that can't concentrate or think when the game gets tough. They're built with players in a way that the blue collar half of the game, if it's even half anymore, I don't know that it is, that's different for them. That's not in their DNA.
But Ray,
so we'll see if they can do that.
I wonder if it's like you need playoff scars, and obviously they have playoff scars. But like you look at all these teams like Pittsburgh, Washington, St. Louis. Once they've gone deep in the playoffs a few times, then they win. It's almost like they develop something that they kind of figure out. And I wonder if they just need to actually go through that. Where they win a couple rounds, lose.
Well, you got to get out of the first round to get those
stars.
Yeah,
but I guess that's what I mean. Like, we saw it with the Raptors where it was like they couldn't get over the hump. They kept getting, like, to the same place, and then they get over the hump, and this year it's like, yeah, we lost Kawhi, whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, they, I mean, certainly all their playoff experience is how to get right to the edge and not step over the goal line, right? Like, they've had it there. They've been there. The next step would be to win something. Can they put three rounds together? Man, that seems like a long way, doesn't it? Like, from where they are now?
Mm-hmm.
But it's... They're built a certain way. They're built in a vision that is different than what has been constructed in the past, not just in Toronto, but in most places around the league, almost every place. And nobody's going to know if it's going to work or not until we get to April.
Yeah, and they've got to get there, got to get in. And it's the only thing I would challenge with that thought is I don't think there's another sport, you know, Big Four North American sport, where the game is played so differently in the playoffs compared to the regular season. So using your playoff experience and applying it to the regular season, I don't know if it
but it's a
counts
mentality,
for us
right?
Much.
It's a mentality.
Yeah, and it's a confidence level. I get it. And I just, that's my issue with this team. You know, I think they'll get in. I think looking at them on paper, they should be in. But it's not about the individual personnel for me. It's the whole cocktail, so to speak. You know, and it just, for whatever reason, they've been wildly inconsistent at times, and their attention to detail can fade and then show up. And so we'll see. I mean, we still got 25 games for them to prove themselves, which is a fair amount. You know, it's a third of the season.
But what is, like, Ray, you mentioned, like, the style of team that they built, and we talk about that a lot, but what is the other style of, like, what is the other style of team that has consistently won? Is it, like, do we look at big teams
harder.
And say, yeah,
harder?
Yeah, that's a good word.
You know, like, just, it's not like being tougher or meaner, it's just they're harder. Mm-hmm. They're, like, go through any team that's won, I mean, outside of, you know, St. Louis is, you know, hard as nails, right? And Washington is gigantic. Mm-hmm. Like, when you watch them play and you're like, oh, my God, these guys are enormous. And then go back through some of the Stanley Cup winners back to Chicago, and they still, like, I think Chicago's the one that I keep coming back to. And you know, and when I think of the Blackhawks, first guy I think of is Patrick Kane. And that's more, you know, Patrick's, you know, is one of the greats of the game. But think about how hard that team played. And I just don't see that from Toronto yet. I haven't seen it yet, and I don't know that they're built that way.
St. Louis is another good example of a team. For 10 years, they were like, these guys, yeah, Ray, you picked them a couple years to win the Cup, and they didn't even come close. And they had those scars, and then they broke through and won the Cup, and now it's just like a factory. They lost their best player in the first month of the season. They just said, screw that. We are going to be a winning machine, and that is exactly what they are.
Okay.
Sorry, that's just outstanding.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, did you throw a shout out to those great folks in the Lower Mainland today? Because they had a great night last night.
Those people, my people out in the Lower Mainland, and the people in North Tonawanda, they deserve stuff like that.
Well, you mentioned Markstrom, man. You should start negotiating after last night's game, man. That was something else.
He's in the Vezina conversation now. He has to be.
I would suggest he has to be as well.
He plays every night. They've given up over 30 shots 9 games in a row. Last night was 49. Like, they had no business winning last night.
Ray, they should go out and pull. I think Vancouver is the one team that should go to Columbus and go out and get a bunch of guys and load up and say, you know what? Why not us? Who the hell else scares you in the West?
Well, who in
Colorado, St. Louis.
But
who else
in that
scares you?
In that division, who scares you? Edmonton,
nobody.
Vegas, Calgary,
no
Arizona.
One.
Nobody does. Someone's got to get
nobody.
Through. Someone's in the conference now, final. Maybe by default, but they're there.
For them, it's a winger and a goal, winger and a defenseman.
Yeah, go get it. Be Jimmy Rutherford of the West and go get it done early.
Well, it might not line up like this quite so often. I mean, there's nobody that stands out for sure as someone you go, oh, you know what? We'd have to be lucky to beat them.
No.
There's nobody like that.
Well, go get Petrie and Chris Kreider. Start with that.
Yeah. It'll cost you a lot for those
two.
Yeah,
but you know what? They've been blowing money out of here like crazy over the last few years, with misspending all over the place in free agency. And that really hasn't worked very well for them. But last summer, they went out and they traded a first-round pick for JT Miller. He's been unreal.
Unreal.
He's been so good.
And so, like, they're like it is now for them. Even though they're, you know, their cornerstones are 20 and 21 years old, and Hughes and Pettersson, it is now for them. And so I can't disagree. Why not swing hard here?
Well,
the great people deserve it.
Yeah, the lower mainland. Burnaby, too. Special place in my heart for Burnaby. I'll jump on your bandwagon.
Do you even know where Burnaby is?
No, it's in Alberta, probably.
I'll tell you where there's great people. Kelowna. The wonderful people of Kelowna
great
deserve
people.
It.
Which is nowhere near Vancouver, but that's fine.
It's in the Pacific time zone.
Yes, you guys have got that right. You know what? For the next Jonas versus O contest after this spelling bee, there should be a Canadian geography test.
I like that idea. I really think there's a lot of potential there.
That's a tough one.
North Delta. Where's North Delta?
Northwest
it's
Territories.
North of South Delta.
Just north of South Delta.
Ray, do you want to be like our phone-a-friend?
Yes, I could help in BC. Don't get me into the Maritimes. I'd get you in the wrong province, though.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What is the capital, Ray, of New Brunswick?
Fredericton.
I don't know if that's right or not. It is? Yeah, it is.
Well done. Not exactly a Alex Trebek in here.
I was going to say, that's not Alex in the middle there doing the quiz. That's like, we could be like the old SCTV half-wits.
Right. Well, do you see Rick Moranis is making a comeback for...
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That's right. He has been out of Hollywood.
Dude, he's a regular dude. He's been a regular dude for 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's coming back. He was always good, man. He was in some great movies.
What's the Rick name of
Moranis? Ghostbusters, wasn't he? Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he was in the Flintstones. Remember, he played Barney Rubble in the Flintstones.
Oh, Barney, what an actor.
Yeah. Oh, spectacular. So, Rick Moranis, he's a Toronto guy. He used to be a radio guy. He used to be on radio. So maybe you still have potential, both of us do, to make it big
There's
in Hollywood.
There's a chance. There's a chance.
There's always a chance. All right, buddy. Well, we'll let you know how it goes in the next hour, and then we'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
Jonas, remember, riding on the line is whether we speak again or not.
I think you'll talk to me regardless.
Okay, we'll
hedging your bets.
Okay, we'll talk
You'll just to be you. Disappointed.
I will be. I will be. Like a parent, I would be disappointed if you come up short. No offense, though. But I'd be disappointed.
None taken, my brother. We'll talk tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Later on.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, joining us from the Lower Mainland in British Columbia.
He's in Kelowna.
And on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota fall in love with your car again with rates as low as 0% at Maple Toyota, right next to Canada's Wonderland.